Welcome to Day of Destiny with Dr. Michelle Correll, author, prophetic teacher, and pastor of Breath of the Spirit Prophetic Word Center. Dr. Correll can be seen weekly, nationwide, and around the world on her weekly telecasts that air on God TV, Impact, and Word Network. Now, let's join Dr. Correll by experiencing Day of Destiny, designed with your highest destiny in mind. Now, here is Dr. Correll.
Tonight, beloved saints, we're turning our eyes on Jesus and we're looking to his word. Hallelujah. We're going back again to Leviticus chapter 23, verse 24, as we are preparing for the power of Rosh Hashanah. The Bible says, "Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, you will have a Shabbat, a Mikra Kodesh, a memorial." Hallelujah. A memorial, a blowing of the trumpets. The Mikra Kodesh is going to be for a memorial, but the memorial is actually a day of remembrance. It's not a commemoration, but it's a day of divine visitation and impartation that God has promised for us. The Bible says it's a day of the blowing of the trumpets unto you in Numbers chapter 29, verse 1. Many people say, why in the world should we even think about biblical feasts? Are they spiritually significant in the life of a believer? But how many of you believe in the promises of God and want every promise that is written in the Word of God to be yours? Amen. So the first thing we want to establish is that the biblical feasts are not just a group of mandated laws in the Bible. I want you to understand it's quite on the contrary. Though it is mandated in the Bible to the Hebrew people, long before there was ever laws written, long before there was Moses, long before Moses was ever born, God already imprinted the biblical feasts in the creation narrative. And it's so important for us to understand because, as you know, when we interpret scripture, the Bible teaches us that explanation is obtained in the context. Can you say this with me? Explanation is obtained in the context. So if we really want the scoop on the creation story, we need to look at context, don't we? If we really want to understand the prophetic agenda of Moses, what was his prophetic agenda? And what was the author's intent when he wrote the book of Genesis, specifically the creation story? We know that the creation story was not written to teach us about molecules. We know that the intent of Moses, though I'm sure he knew every mystery about atoms and molecules, but his prophetic agenda is not about molecules and atoms. It's not about biological structures. I want you to know that his prophetic agenda is about the DNA of creation. The DNA of creation, how all things were made through the word of God. That we have 10 utterances of God's word and God said in the creation story 10 times. And isn't it something that God's word said, God said, is written 10 times in the creation story over 7 days. We have 7 and 10, which is an imprint in creation, which shows us atonement. Because the day of atonement is the 10th day of the 7th month. But I want us to see, beloved saints, from Genesis chapter 1, something so profound. I want to show you what happened on the 4th day of creation. On the 4th day of creation, the Bible tells us that God created the sun and the moon. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says in verse 14, "And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. And let them be for otot and moedim. Let them be for signs and for seasons, for days and for years." This is the introduction in the Bible of the creation of the sun, and the creation of the moon and why they were created. We know that they were created to give light to the earth and to divide the day from the night. But the very first thing that the Bible teaches us about the sun and the moon, the Bible says, and let them be for signs. And the word signs is the word otot. And for seasons. And the word seasons is not weather conditions. The word seasons is the word biblical feasts. So that we would understand that God created the sun and the moon for biblical feasts. Signs and seasons. Now, I want you to understand this word, signs. This word, signs, otot, is a word that is used throughout the book of Exodus. It is used, actually, we call them plagues. But the word for plague in the 10 plagues is only used one time, makot. The rest of the time, the plagues are called otot. They are called signs. So signs are usually given as warnings. If you notice in the book of Exodus where otot is used, it is a warning to Pharaoh that if Pharaoh does not let God's people go, from the very beginning, Moses said, let my son go, but if you do not let Israel, my firstborn, go, then I will slay your son. So he had many opportunities to let the people go, because signs, otot, were given. And these signs were warnings to Pharaoh. The first sign, the water to blood, and we know the rest. This was not some kind of a God who's taking vengeance on the people of Egypt. This is God who says, my children are so important to me, and I'm commanding you to let them go. But if you do not let them go and continue to abuse them and use them, then because Israel's my first son, midah keneged midah, I'm going to take your son. God gave 10 opportunities, and each and every one of the otot were signs to the Hebrews signs to the Egyptians for something that they had actually done to the Hebrews. For example, the water turning to blood in the Nile. This was a very righteous judgment because the Nile was filled with blood of Hebrew children so that they would repent. God had their salvation in mind, that their consciences would convict them. Or another one of the otot were the frogs. They were an unusual group of frogs. They came up out of the Nile and were everywhere, but they were screeching frogs. Have you ever heard a frog screech? It sounds like a human being in terror. It's the screeching sound, very similar to someone who is screaming out because they've been terrorized. So when the frogs filled the land of Egypt, the Egyptians were so convicted in their hearts because of the cries of the children of Israel, because of the whips on their backs. So every one of the otot were warning. So we see that God says the sun and the moon are created to be warnings, otot, and for moedim, on the feasts. So not every blood moon is a warning, and not every solar eclipse is a warning. If we think that every solar eclipse we see and every blood moon we see is a warning from God, then we are very superstitious. Because there's no scriptural evidence for that. And that means that we're very superstitious minded. Say, wow, it's a blood moon. Wow, it's a solar eclipse. But if those solar eclipses are on biblical feasts, and if those blood moons are in a biblical feast day, and if they are in a pattern, how likely is that to be coincidence? It is not. It is the hand of God that has already spoken why the sun and the moon were created. Their first mission and the DNA of God's word was already spoken into the sun and the moon to be the witness at the appointed time. Are you hearing me? So that therefore, beloved saints, how do we know this is so? Because explanation is obtained in the context. If we look at verse 6 and go back up in the text, we're going to see Moses had a very strong prophetic agenda to show us the biblical feasts imprinted in creation before he tells us why the sun and the moon were created. Verses 6 through 9 says, and God said, let there be waters in the firmament. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, and let the waters be divided from the waters. And in verse 9, the Bible says, and God said, let the waters under the heavens, let there be waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let dry land appear. Both of these phrases, waters divided from waters and let dry land appear, are in the Red Sea narrative. That Moses stretched out his hand over the sea and the waters were divided. And the Bible says, and the children of Israel crossed over on dry land. So the very words that are used in the creation story by Moses are transported back into the Yeshua, the deliverance that was given to Bnei Israel when they crossed through the Red Sea during Passover. Are you hearing me? And then we see a second imprint in creation. God's sign. A sign of God's revelation imprinted in creation in the creation story. In verse 11, we see two more biblical feasts. In verse 11, the Bible says, and let the earth bring forth the grass, the herb yielding seed. I want you to understand the Bible is very specific. Notice, this is before the sun is created. So how can the earth bring forth grass when there's no sun? And how can grass survive if there's no sun? It is because Moses is telling us something that is extremely important. The Bible says, let the earth bring forth the grass, herb-yielding seed is sprouted grain. And there's only one kind of sprouted grain that belongs to the grass family, because there are many species of grasses, and that is wheat. Notice how it coincides with the revelation of Passover in verses 6 through 9, waters divided from waters. And notice at the Red Sea, now he's bringing to us Pentecost, the feast of first fruits. And then we see following in the very same line of Genesis chapter 3, verse 11. And the Bible says, and let the earth bring forth the grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind. Do you realize that on the Feast of Tabernacles, God told the children of Israel to take boughs of goodly trees and to wave them before the Lord God. So that we see the biblical feasts imprinted in creation, and this is the context of Genesis 1:14. So it is the agenda of Moses to show us the destiny of the biblical feast and how the biblical feast direct our destiny. Are you with me, saints? When we accept them as the promises of God through Yeshua HaMashiach. Hallelujah. Let's give God the praise and give God the glory. Hallelujah. Come on. Let's give God the praise and give God the glory. Hallelujah. Yes, dear Cynthia. Yes, God, I give you praise right now in Jesus' mighty name. And we give God the glory and we give God the praise. And we give him the honor and we give him the majesty. We're going to continue now for just a few moments, just for a few more moments with names. Come on, pray in the Holy Ghost. Come on, pray in the Holy Ghost for the names here tonight. Veronica, please come forward, honey. In the name of Jesus, God, we give you praise and we give you thanks and we give you honor and we give you glory. Hallelujah. Come on, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This is the time when God has taken us out of the mundane into the miraculous. Hallelujah. This is Rosh Hashanah upon us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The time when God is going to shift our season and we are going to be brought into our divine destinies. And the battle is over. The word Ron is spoken. And the Bible begins in Zephaniah 3:14. Roni, Roni. Bat Zion, daughter of Zion. And God is saying to you, this Rosh Hashanah, you are going to be singing Roni, Roni, Bat Zion, because God is doing great and mighty things in your midst.
Thank you for joining us today on Day of Destiny. We invite you to our website at mydayofdestiny.com, where you can easily access other podcasts and obtain your copy of Dr. Corral's latest book, Secrets of the Anointing. Also, we want to take this moment to invite you to engage in extending your hand of kindness by planting your seed or offering for multitudes that include orphans, providing water wells, providing medical supplies, clinics, feeding programs, and many other services to the suffering church and through efforts of evangelism worldwide. Just go to our website and click the donate button or text to give. Text HESED, C-H-E-S-E-D to 7797. That's HESED, C-H-E-S-E-D to 7797. You are also invited to visit Dr. Michelle Corral Facebook or Instagram. We look forward to having you encounter the anointing with us on our next Day of Destiny podcast.